Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, Lord, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Be seated. We sang the hymn already. The Lord's Prayer. Jesus gave us that to just teach us how to pray to the Father. Amen. Didn't say that we needed to say that every single day before we prayed to Him. Didn't have to say it every night before you go to bed. But if you do, God bless you. But He gave us a blueprint of how to talk to our Father. And where is He? Hallelujah. And that's why we pray that. Bernie, welcome home. Bernie's back, and he's not away. When he's not here, it's not that he's not here, but he's got things that he needs to do, and he can't make it on a Sunday. But I want you to know that he's not like backsliding. I think he'd be here every Sunday if the medical man he could. And we love seeing you, Bernie. So welcome to your spot. See? And he's here today. Give Bernie a little praise this morning. Give him thank you. Read with me. Psalm 62, my soul finds rest in God alone. Hallelujah. My salvation comes from Him.
He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken.
How long will you assault a man? Would all of you throw him down the leaning wall? This leaning wall, this tottering fence?
They fully intend to topple him with his lofty place. They take delight in lies. With their mouth they bless, but in their hearts they curse.
Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from Him.
He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken.
My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge.
Trust in Him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to Him, for God is our refuge.
My refuge, my hiding place, my safe place, the place where all the other things come against me, where I go to find some peace. Amen. In the midst of the fire, I go to God and I find my peace. Psalm 62. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for this day. What a beautiful testimony, God, is. We've missed you. And we got so many calls and so many people that we spoke to, how they missed church. I met a man who's been here a few times and promises me that he will come back. And I never ask anybody to come to church in a way that makes them feel like I want them to do something they don't, you know. When I ask them to come, it's because I want them to join our family. I want them to learn about Jesus. Amen? This man came a few times to our concerts and has come on Sundays, but he doesn't want to come without his wife. And she's working right now on Sundays, but that's going to change. And he said to me out of the blue on Tuesday, he said, Larry, when I come into your church, I feel peace. I feel comfort. He said, I feel a spirit around me that just makes me relax and just makes me feel God. And I said, that's one of the most beautiful testimonies. When you walk into your church, you see other people and you see the peace that should bring you. But I want you to know something else. I've heard people say, I went into this church and I didn't feel the Spirit. And I would tell that person, you need to bring the Spirit in with you. Amen. Now, we got people who are troubled and people who are hurting. We bring them in and we pray for them. But if you're coming into a church wanting to feel the Spirit, you have already missed it. You bring the Spirit in with you and we'll feed you. We'll add to that. Amen. Because this church is about Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And Jesus is the answer to our prayers. Amen? And we pray to God. And I want you to listen to this. Again, I say to you, Jesus says, that if two of you agree on earth, how many? Just two. Agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. And you just said, our Father, where does He live? For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. The big word there is agree. Amen? I got to get you to a place with the Bible and with God and with your heart that you agree on Jesus. That you agree. Say, well, I hope you're right. If somebody, if you're praying for somebody and they say, well, I hope you're right, say, well, forget it because you're not agreeing with me. But if I can get you to the point where you agree and I can get you to understand, who did it say anything in there about a bishop, about a priest, about an elder? It didn't say any. It said, if any two agree on anything unto God, he said he will be in our midst. Amen? So when people say, well, I got to go to somebody, I got to go to my pastor to pray, I said, no, you don't. You got to go to Jesus to pray. Amen? You come to your pastor if you want to have a prayer of agreement. You want me to pray and agree with you. Or you go to the deacons and you want them to pray. Amen? That's the prayer of agreement. But all you need is two people together to agree. Read it one more time because it's Jesus' word. Again, I say that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything, Jesus said that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. You want to be in God's presence? Get together with a brother and start agreeing on things. Amen. Start praying for this church to grow. And you get two people who can agree. Say, yes, that church is on fire for God. Let's pray. God will honor that. You get three people together. Amen. Don't wait for me. Don't wait for somebody else. You call and say, hey, let's pray for this person. Let's pray for this event. We've been praying for Saturday. Next Saturday we have this event coming up that we're all excited about for one of our little sisters who is an ambassador from the United States of America going to Japan, and this church is going to help her. Amen. Your church is going to help her without one penny coming from the church. Amen. Not asking the church. The church, the people are going to bless her, and we're praying that it's such a wonderful time and a celebration. We're also praying for a lot of people who are coming to this church next week who don't come to this church, that they come and see what we do. And if we get 10% of those people, we will have 80, we'll have 8 more new people on a Sunday. Amen. We grow 2 or 3 at a time, and it'd be awesome. Give God praise and glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for the word of God. Thank you that it teaches us that we can come to you in prayer. Us. We don't need a mediator anymore. We have Jesus who paid the price, who sits as our mediator. Thank you, Lord, that all things through you will bless all of us. The Lord, that we learn that if one gets blessed, the church gets blessed. That's the way your word is, Lord. It covers us all. That's why we pray for each other. And we get lifted when we hear a good testimony. We get strength when we hear a good testimony. So when somebody has trouble or a trial or a tribulation, we can all go to them and pray. Say, we know, we're with you. We understand the pain. We understand the fear. We understand the doubt, but we're going to pray. We're going to lift you up. We're going to hold you. That's why you come to church and be with a family of God. We're going to hold you up. And no matter what you feel, we're not going to let you fall. And we're not going to judge you for what you did or how you did it. We're not going to judge you if you doubt. We're not going to judge you if you worry. We're going to give you the word of God to take that away. Hallelujah, because with God, all things are possible. That little word, oh, I like that. All things are possible. Thank you for this church, Lord. Thank you for the people who built this church. Thank you for the folks who are here today, Lord. Help us to keep this ground fertile. Help us to focus on you. Help us to learn more about you, and we know that we all will be blessed. Our families will be blessed. Our grandchildren will be blessed because we will give them the good news. The world has plenty of bad news, Lord. But we have the good news that needs to be fed to our children and our families and our friends and to this world. To this world, they need you more than ever. Thank you, Lord. We believe and we stand in agreement this morning. In Jesus' name, Lord. Hallelujah.
Right.
let him hear our prayer this morning. Let's see if this touches you the way it touches me, the way that it just makes me, it made me feel free. Hallelujah. It made me feel free to worship God in my heart where I wanted to worship Him. John, now John answered Jesus, and John's talking to Jesus saying, "Teacher, we saw someone who does not follow us casting out demons in your name, and we forbade him because he does not follow us." Do you understand what happens here? The apostles seen some people that they don't know, didn't belong to their clique, they didn't know them, and they're over there praying for people and removing demons, and they're using Jesus' name to do it, and the disciples said, stop. They forbid them to do that. Amen? Read that again. Now John answered, saying, "Teacher, we saw someone who does not follow us casting out demons in your name, and we forbid him because he does not follow us." But Jesus said, "Do not forbid him, for no one who works a miracle in my name can soon after speak evil of me. For he who is not against us is on our side." Can you say that with me? For he who is not against us is on our side. For whoever gives you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, assuredly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. No one can speak evil of me soon afterwards, hallelujah, after a miracle. For he who is not against us is on our side. You know who speaks evil of Christians? Other Christians. Amen? My church is the only church. My place is the only place. This religion is the only religion. This denomination is the only religion. Who says that? People. Who came up with that? People. What did God say? He who is with us is not against us. Amen? I told the story the other night, but this is true. I met some folks that I haven't seen in years. And they've been members of a church in Milford for years. They were members of the First Congregational Church in Milford. That's great. That's awesome. It's wonderful. I said, "I'm a pastor. We pastor a church in Derby." So what church? I said, "The Second Congregational in Derby." And she looked me right in the eyes. And she said, "Oh, well, we're First Congregational. Does that mean we're above you?" What? Other churches laugh at what we're doing here. Other religions don't respect what we're doing here because we're not of their religion. I've known a lot of people of other faiths who would not walk into this church because it's not of their faith, amen? Where I would love to go to different churches and hear the word preached and hear people talking out of the Bible, amen? So what Jesus is saying is telling the disciples, what are you talking about? If anybody's with us, they're not against us. Are you with me on that? That just seems to free you, because sometimes you feel like in life, well, I was raised that if I didn't go to confession, I can't have the sacrament. I said, but that's what I was learned as a child. But it doesn't say that in the Bible, amen? So you gotta break away from that. You say, "Lord, I love you. I love you. And I want to do right, Lord. I want to do right by you. I don't want to do right by man." Now, if you go to a church and you believe that and you go with your heart, then I say that's wonderful. If you go into church and they have rules that you follow or traditions that they follow, listen to what I'm saying. If you follow them, I say that's wonderful. That's great. If it brings you closer to God. But if you're only doing it because they told you to do it, then what good is doing it? Amen? We're all brothers and sisters in Christ. And you know, the people who come against us more are other brothers and sisters in Christ. And that one little paragraph right there just makes me feel so free. Are you with me? Now prayer. Y'all know what prayer is? Talking to God. Brother Fred, when you pray, you talk to God, right? You're not talking to Nancy. You're talking to God. I know she's got at the house. I understand that. But you're talking to God. When much is given, much is required. Amen? I'm going to show you why much has been given to you. Some people think you got to go to a priest to pray, or you got to go to a bishop to pray. And then I ask, who are you? So let me ask you, Miss Dale, do you know who you are in the eyes of the Lord? Do you know you're a saint? You're a saint in the eyes of the Lord. You're a sister. You're a mother. You're a brother. You're a father in the eyes of the Lord. You are the chosen priesthood in the eye. You are. Much has been given to you because you follow Jesus. And you say, well, Pastor, how can you say that? If you don't trust me, trust Peter. Y'all love Peter. Amen? Peter was the soldier that cut off. Peter was the disciple that cut off the ear of the soldier when they came to get Jesus. He was one that loved Jesus. Hallelujah. And Jesus has said we need coming to him as to a living stone. Coming to Jesus as he is a living stone, rejected indeed by men. You know that Jesus was, but chosen by God and precious. Who was Jesus chosen by? God and precious. And then he says these five words. You, who? Yeah, us. Also, as living stones, listen to it, as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. Say that with me, holy priesthood. A holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Coming to him as to living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. When much is given, much is required. God has given you, through his Son, access to the prayer room. Amen? He's given it to you, David. Access to the prayer room. You don't need to go anywhere else. You are now called holy priesthood. Amen? That doesn't mean you walk around higher than other people, because we know that doesn't work. Amen? And you don't boast about it. You humble yourself. The fact that he's called you to that should humble you, to make you realize how just beautiful it is to know that. Are you with me? Holy priesthood. And he's called you to pray for others. And he's called you to pray with others. And he's called you to pray for the church. He's giving you that responsibility. And you say, well, what are the sacrifices? How does it say with spiritual, being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, offer spiritual sacrifices? You might say, well, what spiritual sacrifices? It's faith. Amen? Faith. What is faith? Believing yet not seeing. You're praying for this to happen. You pray for the. You don't see it, but you believe it. So you start acting and talking like it's going to happen. Roger had his knee replaced. We had to pray for that before, but we saw the end. Amen? We saw it, and we believed for it, and we held on to that belief. Now the faith is there. The evidence is the faith right there, seeing his knee, 84% of his mobility already. In 2 weeks, the man walked in the church after a total knee replacement in 2 weeks. The faith of our prayers, amen? And the faith and praying for the doctor, and there's your answer to prayer. That's what you do when you pray with somebody, amen? That's faith. And that's the spiritual that you talk about. Not seeing yet believing, allowing God to work more in your lives. To lean not on your own understanding. I will tell you that every Sunday. George, lean not on your own understanding. You just get not your ways, but God's ways. And that will. Look at the blessings of the people here. Look at the people. Look at the love. I've seen it. I don't want to pick out people, but you just look around and how many things you're thankful for, and the people sitting next to you. How thankful you are for the person sitting next to you today. The bond, the love, the gift from who? Hallelujah. That leads to blessings in your life that others will see. How many times you tell somebody something good until they see it, amen? Until they taste it, right, Roger? Roger cooks tuna, he can say, oh, it's great. He said, I don't know. But you won't believe him until you take a bite and say, whoa, that really is good, amen? Sometimes you got to do all the way to there to get them to believe. But if they see a miracle, I pick it on Roger because it's so beautiful to see him in 2 weeks. We prayed for him for months, actually, but the last 2 weeks, Lord, we need the surgery. I know it's a big surgery. They're going to remove his entire knee. They're going to put a new one in. They're going to stitch it up. Miss Dale, you've been there, done that, huh? Hallelujah. 2 weeks, the man's in. 84%. We spoke to Roger the day of the surgery after he had and he still had a lot of vitamins in him from the surgery, and he was laughing and joking, and we didn't talk to him the next day, but I understand it was a different Roger. And you know what he says? I don't remember. praying for others with power and faith, praying for your church. Oh, that you would pray for your church. Sometimes you have to do this. Then Elijah said to Ahab, "Go up and eat and drink, for there is the sound of abundant rain." Elijah had prayed that there be no rain, and there was no rain for 3 years and 6 months. He's about to pray for the rain now, and I want you to listen, because sometimes in your life, this is how you need to pray. And I want you to understand that the closer you get to God, the more you want to pray like this. The more God answers your prayers, the more you want to make sure you're praying with God as strong as you can. So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. Then he bowed down to the ground and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, "Go up now and look towards the sea." So he went up and looked and said, "There is nothing." He's praying for a miracle. Are you with me, Miss Karen? He's praying for a miracle. And he's just not standing there saying, "Oh God, I hope there's, oh God, help." He got on his knees, and put his head between his knees. It said that. Those little lines the little things that they tell you in the Bible, they're so. Then he bowed down on the ground and put his face between his knees. And he said to his servant, "Go up now and look towards the sea." So he went up and looked, and he said, "No, there is nothing." And 7 times he said, "Go again." 7 times. Would you pray for something 7 days in a row? 7 times he said, "No, go." No doubting, amen? And no quitting. But sometimes you got to get on your knees and you got to talk to God from your heart. He wants that. He yearns for you to just want Him that way. Are you with me? And the prayer, your prayers become more powerful. The prayers become more intense. And you start realizing God is in your life. When things happen around you, you say, "That had to be God." Amen? It had to be God taking care of this. I want to pray. I'll pray every day for everybody. And I remember, I think I said this, and somebody said if he went to church, went to the hospital and prayed for 10 people and none of them made it the next day, he said, "I'd go the next day and pray for 10 more people." Amen? Because I'm not going to quit on God. I'm going to give God the glory, and I'm going to keep praying, because prayer is our weapon against the devil. Amen? Are you with me on prayer? That's how we pray. 2 or 3 gathered together. You are to God the holy priesthood. I am a pastor. I am the leader of the church, in the sense I am your shepherd. That's all I am. I bring you to God. I don't want to say that's all, because of the responsibility. But I bring you to Him, amen, so that you can pray to Him, amen. I bring you closer, and I pray that each and every one of you would serve God and be a pastor and be a deacon and be an elder. And I pray that all of you would want to know more about God, to tell other people and just give Him that kind of praise, amen, because that's what the church does. We build each other up to get closer to who? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to be short. I'm going to have 3 weeks of this. Guys. Now I want to talk about one thing. I want to talk about the devil's tool called lying. A lie. One lie. Now, I'm not saying, guys, that if your wife gets a new dress, she says, "You like my dress? Does it look good?" You say yes. If you don't even need it. That's not the lie I'm talking about. Or if somebody makes you supper and you start to eat it and it really doesn't taste good, you say, "Yeah, this is really good." It's not the lie I'm talking about. Amen. And Fred is laughing. I got Fred laughing. You know? It's not the lie. We don't want to lie. It's the things that you've done or in the past. I'm talking about a lie. And how it's the devil's tool. A couple of weeks ago, men gathered together. Actually, it was a while back, it just came out on the news. Men got together and actually agreed to break the rules. They lied. They agreed to cheat. What would it hurt? They said, you know, they got, after all, it was just for kids. And the kids deserve it, right? They lied. So it was agreed that these people would get together and they would build this team on a lie. They broke the rule. rules. But they said, well, it's just a kid's game. Who's going to hurt if we make a team and we just bring other kids in from an area that they don't really belong in this area, but they're really good players, and if we get these kids, we'll be a better team and we might win. Amen? So they agreed. They agreed to lie. And they built this team of young boys to play baseball. And everybody said, well, that's baseball, if you can do. And this team went on, and they beat all the teams in their area. They beat them. And then they played regionals. They played regionals, and they beat all those kids. All those kids who had dreams of winning the championship. All those kids who dreamed and played hard, and the teams and the coaches who played by the rules. Amen? But this one team, they decided, well, we're going to break the rules a little. So they won the regionals with these kids. And let me tell you about kids, and I tell you because I played in the Little League. You know the kids you play with. Amen? You know who the good kids are. And you know that if kids come from a different area, you know that they, well, we don't normally play with this kid, but he's really good. And he's going to play on our team. So I don't think, even if I'm quite, I won't say anything. Amen? So when they brought these other kids in, other kids on the team knew that they weren't from the area that they normally play in. I know that because I played here in Derby. I knew the kids around, and you knew who the good players were and where they were from. One thing that happened, there might have been two or three kids in that area that should have been on that team, but because they broke the rules a little bit and brought these other kids on, those kids didn't get to make the team. All of a sudden, they weren't good enough. Hallelujah. So they won in the region. Other teams who had no idea, who played by the rules, they faced defeat with sadness but with pride. They tried their best. Amen? They tried their best. But what about the kids who didn't make the team because of the lie? Just one little lie. Amen? We're just breaking the rule a little bit. What about the kids who knew other kids did not belong in their area? Kids know. I'm telling you, the kids know. I'm not saying that the kids cheated. Understand? But kids know. They're not dumb. When you were 12, you're not dumb. Amen? Especially when you are playing a sport against other people. You know, you're not dumb. Let's be honest. Hallelujah. They were winning. Are you with me? They were winning. So I'm asking you, what lesson were they learning? What lesson were they being taught? They're winning. They're winning. We're winning. We just won the regions. Then they went to Pennsylvania, this team, to play against all other teams in the country and all other teams around the world. We put the headlights, you know, the thousands of people going to see them. It's exciting for us to see the Little League kids, and they won the championship. They won the championship. All the teams they beat went home. They gave their best, but they weren't good enough. Then the winners were praised. The winners were given reward. The winners even went to the White House. These kids went to the White House. Teams from Rhode Island, teams from California, they lost. They went home. They were sad. They learned how to lose and defeat. We did our best, but this team was lifted up. What did they learn? What did they learn? What did we teach those children? And here's the thing. People said, oh, it's just a game. It doesn't matter. The people who were complaining about it were poor sports. How can you bother? You're poor sports. But the lie, the cheating, all of it didn't even matter to people. They lied, they cheated, they won, but it didn't matter. Oh, let them keep it. It wasn't important. Winning is important. What lessons do they learn? What lessons do we teach our children? Is it that winning matters? Is that what we taught our children? That lying and doing something you know is wrong in the beginning, that's all that really matters is if you win the game? And then this is, I'm going to be a little, I have to be with. In Missouri, a tragedy happened. A young man lost his life. The first few people they talked to, and this isn't on my opinion, this is the first couple of people they talked to were accomplices for this young boy who lost his life. And he told a lie. He told a lie. He said, this is what happened. And they went with it. It didn't happen. That one thing he said happened did not happen. He lied. But people took that lie and got mad and got angry and went all around with that lie, instigating people, getting them to anger, getting them to violence, where people lost their jobs, businesses were burned down, businesses are gone, Lives are gone because of a lie. It did not happen. You understand? It's one lie that was spoken caused a fire to burn. That is the devil's tool. Are you with me? One lie started like that, ruined lives, destroyed lives. Children felt abandoned and they felt lost. But the Little Leagues, these kids tried. Other coaches tried their best. They played by the rules. They can never get that back. No matter whatever happens, how they ever do it, you can never get that back. And it comes all the way to me. It comes all the way to me. I can't do what you want me to do. I can't have you. I can't agree with everything you do, and I don't want you to agree with me. And I can't do. If Greg and I and my wife, we don't play in a bar because it's a bar and we don't like it. You might say, "Oh, that's okay." Well, no, it's not okay. It's not okay to God. Amen. I can't do what is wrong in God's eyes. Amen. But I can't let you decide for me what is right or wrong by God. I have to follow God. I have to do what's right by God. Are you with me? So the punishment for me is this. If you do something wrong, and we said this the other day, you do something wrong, we bring you back in here. Say you break the law, whatever you do, and we bring you back in here and we pray for you and we lift you up and we say that's okay. We understand you had a bad day or something. If I do something wrong in the eyes of God, in the eyes of the world, I lose you. I lose this church. Amen. So if you don't believe in me, or if you believe in me, that's one thing. But I want you to believe in what I'm saying. And all I want you to do is trust me that when I pray to you, when I preach to you, when I read from you, I'm giving you what I think God is telling me to tell you. Amen. And in our lives, mine depends on Him to keep this church alive. Amen. I can't let lies get in the way. I can't let deceit get in the way. I can't let my feelings get in the way. Amen. I have to follow Him and Him alone, because my responsibility is to God and to this church. But I spoke these two things about the lies today because I want you to realize the devil has a tool. He's got so much that he can work on. And that those two lies have destroyed lives, have hurt hearts, have caused things to happen that can't be replaced. Amen? Just simple lies. And anything built on a lie is not going to last. Anybody who starts something off a lie is just not going to last. It'll soon fall apart. Amen? When the truth comes out, everything will collapse. That's why we need to stay focused on Jesus. Amen? That's why we need to stay focused on the Lord. We need to stay focused on the Bible. And we need to preach His Word and read His Word and draw closer to God. Amen? Not closer to man, not closer to man's laws, but closer to God. We need to pray together. We need to get on our knees sometimes and pray. We need to draw unity from each other. We need to be a family in God. And just we need Jesus in our lives. Give God praise and glory. Lord, would you do that? Come on, baby. You got to do this, please. 70 years ago this month, Iwo Jima was fought. The Battle of Iwo Jima, the island that changed the war. Amen? They think that one battle actually helped win the war in World War II. The Battle of Iwo Jima was the only battle, listen, the only battle at U.S. Marine Corps where American casualties exceeded the Japanese. 6,821 soldiers died fighting that battle. 19,217 were wounded. In that one battle, Iwo Jima, fighting for freedom, amen? Fighting for what was right. Fighting to defend people that nobody even knew. People who lived in other places nobody even knew. We said, this is what we need to do, we need to fight. And that battle was 70 years ago. 70 years ago in this country that I say is the greatest country on the planet. We're compassionate people. We're more compassionate than people realize. I saw a man on AOL who didn't have a car and walked to work every day. people got together. They raised $330,000 for him. In 1 week, they raised $330,000 because they felt bad. This country is compassionate. This thing, a tragedy in Newtown 3 years ago in Sandy Hook, $14 million came in from people for that tragedy. Compassionate. We care about people. Amen? We care. This country cares about people and people that we don't even know and see. 70 years ago, they fought a battle for an island, one little island in the Pacific that changed the war. The Bible tells us that one spark can start a forest fire. What I was trying to read to you today and what I was trying to share with you today is that sometimes that one spark would be a lie that starts a forest fire. Anything built on something that's not true will soon fall apart. We have to build and continue to build this church in honor of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. He will bring the people. He will build the church. He will keep us together. He will show us the way. If we want this church to continue to be blessed, we need to walk in His ways. When we fall to the left or right, we bring each other back to the middle. The Bible says we fall short every day. So when we do that, we need to confess and ask for forgiveness and continue the walk. It's all about this church, all about Jesus, all about our brothers and sisters here. All about the healings and the prayers answered and the blessings and the jobs and the hopes and the dreams that we put in God's hands. And it all started with Jesus on the cross. And He simply said, eat and do this in remembrance of Him in Jesus' name. We're remembering this morning. It's what we're doing in our hearts, not what we're doing in this tradition. It's remembering. He took the wine, blessed, and poured it into a cup. And He said, this is My blood that will be shed for you for the remission of your sins. My life blood I will shed for you. I'm going to cover you in My blood in the forgiveness and the power of His blood. He shed for us for the remission of our sins. And He simply asked that we do this in remembrance of Him.